Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Monday, May 10th, 2021. Coming up this hour.
Oil and gas climb after a cyber attack puts a U.S. pipeline out of action.
Dr. Anthony Fauci says the number of COVID deaths has been widely undercounted.
The battle over the future of Liz Cheney and the Republican Party comes to a head this week.
And a wild ride for Dogecoin following Elon Musk's Saturday Night Live appearance.
The search continues for the man who shot three innocent bystanders in Times Square. Plus, Palestinians clash with Israeli police at a Jerusalem holy site. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Knicks beat the Clippers. A sweep for the Mets and another walk-off win for the Yankees.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm John Tucker. Bloomberg Daybreak is being brought to you by Interactive Brokers. IBKR charges margin loan rates from 0.75% to 1.59%. Rates subject to change. Learn more at IBKR.com/compare.
And U.S. futures, little change this morning. 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures, again, little changed. Dow futures are higher, up 64, while NASDAQ futures are falling, down about 40. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd, yield 1.58%, and the yield on the 2-year, 0.14%. And this data check brought to you by BNY Mellon's Pershing. Learn why the world's most sophisticated advisory firms and broker-dealers rely on Pershing to help them improve profitability, create efficiency, attract talent, and manage risk at Pershing.com. John.
And we'll have more on the markets in a minute. But first, there's still no timeline for restarting a giant U.S. fuel pipeline that was knocked out by a cyber attack. The Colonial Pipeline facility is a critical source of supply for the eastern U.S. Bloomberg's William Turton has more on how hackers gained access.
They were able to lock up computers on the kind of IT network of the company. So it wasn't the actual computers that control the pipes and the flows and all that, but they were forced to take that system offline, I think, in fears that it could spread to that and have more damaging, long-lasting impact. But, you know, sometimes those IT systems are just as critical as the kind of systems that operate the pipeline itself.
So far, Bloomberg's William Turton says there's no word on who's responsible. The White House has pulled together an interagency task force to tackle the problem.
The hack is having a major impact on energy markets. It's boosting gasoline prices, but could have the opposite effect on crude. That's according to Vivek Dhar, an analyst at Commonwealth Bank of Australia.
If this outage is prolonged, that's likely to see refined products, particularly gasoline, in the U.S. East Coast lift. The impact onto crude oil is something which is actually going to be negative if this continues on, because we'll see stockpiles build up in the Houston area. And then we'll see refinery demand start easing, and then we'll see a glut.
Vivek Dhar at Commonwealth Bank of Australia says any disruption lasting more than a couple more days could start showing up in prices. And checking gasoline right now, it is up 1.2%, while NYMEX crude oil is up almost 0.5%.
And turning to the pandemic now, a study out of the University of Washington shows a severe undercounting of COVID deaths in the U.S. And that's not surprising, according to Dr. Anthony Fauci. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has details.
The research says the number of deaths is probably over 900,000. Dr. Fauci says he's not totally surprised.
You know, we've been saying, and the CDC has been saying all along, that it is very likely that we're undercounting. You know, the model says that it's a significant amount, as you mentioned correctly, 900,000. That's a bit more than I would have thought.
Fauci on NBC says no doubt there at the very least was an undercount. The U.S. officially is counting out nearly 582,000 deaths. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thank you. The pandemic is also having a major impact on the labor market, as we saw in Friday's jobs report. Minneapolis Fed President Neel Kashkari says it needs aggressive support to speed the healing process.
We are still somewhere between 8 and 10 million jobs below where we were before the pandemic. Roughly 8 to 10 million Americans ought to be working right now if the COVID crisis had not happened. So we still are in a deep hole, and we still need to do everything we can to put those folks back to work more quickly.
Neel Kashkari made the comments on CBS's Face the Nation, which can be heard every Sunday on Bloomberg Radio.
On the political front, a battle over the future of the Republican Party is playing out this week. House members are set to vote on whether to remove Representative Liz Cheney from their leadership ranks. Amy Morris reports from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
House Republican leader Kevin McCarthy and GOP whip Steve Scalise have both publicly backed Elise Stefanik to replace Cheney as the GOP conference chair. Cheney, the third highest ranking House Republican, has been outspoken in her criticism of former President Donald Trump. Republican Representative Jim Banks of Indiana tells Fox News Sunday Cheney is a distraction.
We shouldn't be talking about Liz Cheney. We should be talking about pushing back against the radical Biden agenda. And this is all a distraction from our ability to be able to do that.
But Republican Governor Larry Hogan of Maryland tells NBC's Meet the Press, the GOP's push to draw closer to the former president will not broaden the Republican Party tent.
We have to be able to have a Republican Party that appeals to a broader group of people.
Lawmakers are scheduled to return to Washington tomorrow. The House Republican vote is scheduled for Wednesday morning. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Amy, thank you. It was 5 days ago that Facebook's independent board upheld a ban on Donald Trump. Now one of those board members is speaking out, saying the company needs to fix its rules when it comes to content.
They needed some time because their rules are a shambles. They are not transparent. They are unclear. They are internally inconsistent. So we made a series of recommendations about how to make their rules clearer and more consistent.
Michael McConnell is co-chairman of Facebook's Content Oversight Board. He was a guest on Fox News Sunday, heard on Bloomberg Radio.
And it was a wild ride for Dogecoin investors this weekend. After hitting a record ahead of Elon Musk's appearance on Saturday Night Live, the digital currency fell during the Tesla CEO's appearance. Musk had this to say about Dogecoin during SNL's weekend update.
It's the future of currency. It's an unstoppable financial vehicle that's going to take over the world.
Oh, so it's a hustle.
Yeah, it's a hustle.
Dogecoin fell throughout the broadcast, but then rose after Musk said SpaceX will launch a mission to the moon next year that's been paid for entirely in the digital currency. We have Dow futures right now up 77. The Nasdaq E-mini futures 35 points lower. This is Bloomberg. And it is now 6:07 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr to find out what else is going on in New York and around the world.
John, thank you, sir. A manhunt continues in New York following Saturday's shooting in Times Square that injured three people, including a young girl. Police have identified Farrakhan Muhammad as the person of interest in the incident. They say he tried to shoot his brother after getting into an argument on the street. Wendy Magranat from Rhode Island was visiting Times Square with her family. A bullet struck Magranat in her thigh, but she managed to hand off her two-year-old daughter before collapsing.
I really thought I was going to die. Oh. I kept saying to my husband, please take care of Elise, which is my daughter.
Magranat is now recovering at home. Her daughter was not hurt, but another woman was shot in the foot, and a four-year-old girl in the crowd was shot in the calf. In Manhattan yesterday, New York Senator Chuck Schumer says it's one more argument toward comprehensive gun reform.
It was a horrible, horrible thing, and it just means that we have to pass strong federal legislation for universal background checks.
Senator Schumer says we have to get crime down in New York City. Seven people are dead after a shooting at a mobile home in Colorado Springs, Colorado. It happened after a birthday party. Police say the gunman walked in, shot six people, and then killed himself. Canadian police are searching for the suspects involved in what they say was a gang-related shooting at Vancouver International Airport Sunday afternoon that left one man dead. Chief Superintendent Will Ng with the Royal Canadian Mounted Police says the victim was gunned down outside the departure terminal and that the suspects fled in a getaway car firing upon police when they were briefly intercepted.
This generation of gangsters is taking things to another level, which is having no regard whatsoever with community safety.
Ng says no officers were hurt. Israeli police clashed with Palestinian protesters at a Flashpoint Jerusalem holy site today, the latest in a series of confrontations that is rising tensions in the contested city. The latest violence at the mosque compound came after days of mounting tensions between Palestinians and Israeli authorities in the old city of Jerusalem. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air, and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. John.
Michael, thank you. And it's now 6:09 on Wall Street. That's time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's John Stanshauer.
Thanks, John. Good weekend for the Mets and Yankees, both playing at home. First place Mets with a sweep of Arizona, who's now lost 10 straight times at Citi Field. The Mets with their second straight 4-2 win, and they now anxiously await MRI results on Jacob DeGrom. He got the win yesterday, but left after the fifth inning. Tightness in his right side, the same injury DeGrom had a week ago. Yankees with a second straight walk-off win, 3-2 over Washington on a Giancarlo Stanton hit, bottom of the ninth inning. Gleyber Torres finally hit his first home run of the season. The Yanks went 7-2 on the homestand. The Knicks' first road win over the Clippers since 2010, 106-100. Derrick Rose, 25 points. Reggie Bullock had 24. Julius Randle, only 14, but he hit some big shots down the stretch. The Knicks are 3-2 on the trip that ends tomorrow against the Lakers. Rory McIlroy's first career PGA win came in Charlotte. That was 11 years ago. He just won at Quail Hollow for the third time, his first tournament win in 19 months. A week ago, Bob Baffert was basking in the glory of a seventh Kentucky Derby victory. Now the Hall of Fame trainer has been suspended by Churchill Downs, and his horse, Medina Spirit, may have its Derby victory taken away due to an excessive amount of steroid. Of a steroid, Baffert told WHAS Radio, he is innocent.
I'm going to fight it tooth and nails, because this horse, you know, I owe it to the horse, I owe it to the owner, and I owe it to our industry. And our industry needs to step up, and we need to do a better job in racing. There's something wrong right now with it. I've been talking about it.
In the past year now, five of Baffert's horses have failed the drug test. John Stanshauer, Bloomberg Sports. John?
All right, John, thanks a lot. Ahead of the cash open on Wall Street futures, right now they are mixed. NASDAQ E-mini futures, 38 points lower. That's down 0.3% right now. The Dow futures, up 84 points. That's up 0.2%. And right now the S&P futures, 7 points higher, up 0.2%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And the Bloomberg weather for today, partly sunny, the high temperature in the mid-60s. Tomorrow's outlook, partly to mostly sunny, it'll be breezy, the high 65. Wednesday, more sunshine, the high temperature again in the mid-60s.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update brought to you by Witham, a forward-thinking advisory and accounting firm offering industry expertise and innovative solutions for your business. Experience the Witham way. Innovative, adaptive, effective, trusted. Visit Witham.com for more. And NASDAQ futures are falling as surging commodity prices stoke concern about whether inflation will derail a growth rebound in the world's largest economy and spoil a record stock rally. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, NASDAQ futures are down 37 points. S&P futures little changed, up about 2 now. Dow futures up 83. The DAX in Germany is down 0.25%. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd, yield 1.58%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.14%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.5% or 33 cents at $65.23 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.33%, up $6.80 at $18.38.10 an ounce. The euro 1.2166 against the dollar, British pound 1.4095, and the yen 108.77. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. The pipeline shutdown that carries gasoline and other fuel from Texas to the Northeast continues. The Biden administration says an all-hands-on-deck effort is underway to restore operations and avoid disruptions due to the cyber attack that led to the shutdown. Medina Spirit's victory in the Kentucky Derby is in serious jeopardy because of a failed post-race drug test. Hall of Fame trainer Bob Baffert says that Medina Spirit tested positive for an excessive amount of a banned steroid that he denies giving the horse. Runner-up Mandaloon could be declared the winner by the Kentucky State Racing Commission. In Major League Baseball, the Yankees beat the Nationals 3-2. The Mets won. The Red Sox beat the Orioles 4-3. The Giants and A's lost. In the NBA, the Knicks won. The Celtics lost. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. John.
All right, Michael, thank you. It is 6:20 on Wall Street, and we're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Time to check in on the pandemic now, the vaccination effort as well. Joining us is Dr. Gigi Grandval, professor at Johns Hopkins University, Bloomberg School of Public Health. Doctor, thanks for being with us this morning. Can I start off with the comments from Dr. Fauci regarding the study out of the University of Washington showing a severe undercounting of COVID deaths in the U.S.? First of all, your take on it. Why is there this disparity?
Well, we always knew that there was going to be an undercounting because especially early on when we didn't have the diagnostic tests in line. And people end up dying of lots of different things, but COVID may have started that process off. And so it's going to take some time to really do all the accounting.
That is a staggering number, though, out of the University of Washington, 900,000 deaths. Does that surprise you?
No, I mean, this is a nasty disease, and that's why, we're so lucky that we have been able to have a vaccine that's that people need to take.
As far as restrictions and relaxations, we're starting to get into that phase. Where do we go from here, and just how far should the relaxation of restrictions go in your estimation?
Yeah, I think people are anxious to have this be put behind them, but this virus is going to be with us for some time. And so I can't urge enough to learn about the vaccines and to try and get yourself vaccinated, because there's going to be a time when you're going to get exposed. And the vaccines are very, very safe and extremely effective. So a lot of people have this like no pain, no gain approach to their immune system. They think, oh, well, I'll just get it and then I'll be really protected. But that's not the case. Your better choice is to get vaccinated so that you're prepared to face the real virus.
Do we have any better sense of just how long this vaccination will protect us?
I think it's probably going to be at least a year or two. The arise of different variants makes that an open question. We've only been dealing with this virus, of course, for not a long time. And so I think it's probably going to end up being a year or two, possibly more, but we'll have to see. We're just experiencing this in real time.
This, do you see a scenario developing somewhat like the flu shot, that we get a booster or a completely new vaccine every year?
We'll have to see. I kind of think it's going to be a little bit longer than that, but we'll have to see what the data says. I'm hopeful that this new technology will help us get better flu shots so that we can avoid having to get those every year. But we'll have to see what happens. And this week, of course, is a big week when it's probably going to be the case when 12 to 15-year-olds will be able to get the Pfizer vaccine. So parents should be thinking about that and how they can protect their children.
Yeah, when you refer to new technology, you're talking about the messenger RNA capabilities?
Exactly. It might allow the flu to match better, the vaccine to match better the flu that's circulating, because right now a lot of flu vaccines are actually made in chicken eggs, and the process has to be started so early to get ready for flu season that sometimes the wrong guess is made, and we don't have the right vaccine for the right flu.
Yeah, I was fascinated to read about the work by the Nobel Prize winners, including Dr. Jennifer Doudna, I believe I pronounced her name correctly. Just where is this going to take us, do you suppose, in the future? Is it as promising as it does seem?
Yes, it really is amazing. I think we've all kind of checked in on just how much work people have been doing these last decades to make diagnostic tests and to make vaccines better, safer, more protective, and thankfully, this has been a very, very unlucky and terrible pandemic. But thankfully, biotechnology has managed to produce some amazing vaccines.
Doctor, always a pleasure. Appreciate it. Dr. Gigi Grandval, a professor at Johns Hopkins University, joining us this morning from the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. And just ahead on Daybreak, a check of the markets. We're bringing you the latest in news, economics, and finance. Right now, futures are mixed. The S&P futures 7 points higher. That is up 0.2% right now. And the Dow futures, 85 points higher. That's up 0.75%. The NASDAQ E-mini futures right now, they are lower, bucking the trend right now, down 43 points. That is lower by 0.3%. And we also have gasoline futures down over 1%. And you're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And the Bloomberg weather for today, it'll be partly sunny. The high temperature, about 65. Pretty nice day on tap. Tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny and breezy. High 65. Wednesday's outlook, sunshine. Highs again in the mid-60s.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm John Tucker.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Oil and gasoline climbing after a cyber attack put the largest U.S. oil products pipeline out of action. Colonial Pipeline, a supplier of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel to the eastern U.S., was forced to halt operations Friday, and there's still no timeline for a restart. Will Kennedy is Bloomberg Executive Editor for Commodities.
The security implications of this are extremely concerning, that hackers can knock out such a vital part of U.S. energy infrastructure. I mean, for example, this is the pipeline that supplies Atlanta Airport, the biggest airport in America. It's an extremely concerning to the White House and the Biden administration.
Bloomberg's Will Kennedy says the White House has created a task force to tackle the problem. No word yet on who's responsible for the attack. And checking gasoline right now, it's up 1.6%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.6%.
And gold is trading near a three-month high following the April jobs report, which saw payrolls increase by 266,000. Economists were looking for a million. Neil Kashkari is president of the Minneapolis Fed.
There is some truth to the unemployment benefits maybe being a disincentive. I see that in the data, and I see that in anecdotes that as we talk to people. I also think that child care shortages are a big impediment to people coming back in, with schools still being partially closed. And I think that fear, the risk of, hey, I don't want to get back onto a crowded bus if that's what it's going to take to go to my job.
Neil Kashkari made the comments on CBS's Face the Nation, heard Sundays on Bloomberg Radio.
Turning to the pandemic now, Dr. Anthony Fauci says there's no doubt the country has undercounted the number of coronavirus deaths.
We've been saying, and the CDC has been saying all along, that it is very likely that we're undercounting. You know, the model says that it's a significant amount, as you mentioned correctly, 900,000. That's a bit more than I would have thought the undercounting was. But, you know, sometimes the models are right online, sometimes they're a bit off.
Dr. Fauci spoke on NBC's Meet the Press, heard Sundays on Bloomberg Radio. The official number of COVID deaths in the U.S. comes in at 581,000. But a Washington University study puts the real number at more than 900,000. Right now, NASDAQ futures are down 41 points. Dow futures up 90. NASDAQ futures up about 2. The 10-year Treasury little change, yield 1.57%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.14%. And NYMEX crude oil is up 0.6% at $65.27 a barrel. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, thanks, Karen. It is 6:33 on Wall Street. And let's bring in Michael Barr to tell us what else is going on in New York and around the world.
John, thank you very much. The search continues for a man who opened fire in New York's Times Square Saturday, injuring two women and a four-year-old girl. Police have identified Farrakhan Muhammad as the person of interest in the incident. All three victims were innocent bystanders. New York Senator Chuck Schumer, speaking in Manhattan yesterday, said it's one more argument toward comprehensive gun reform legislation.
We have to get crime down in this city. I'm not going to point any specific fingers. Our job in Washington is to pass H.R. 8, which would really reduce the flow of guns to New York City.
Senator Schumer called for strong federal legislation for universal background checks. Top House Republican Kevin McCarthy has publicly endorsed Representative Elise Stefanik for the post of number three leader. That cements the party conference's support of the Donald Trump loyalist over Representative Liz Cheney. A vote could come as early as Wednesday to oust Cheney. Cheney is an outspoken critic of the former president for promoting discredited claims that the 2020 election was stolen. Former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie.
Liz is smart and tough, but I think Liz is doing what she wants to do. I don't think Liz wants to be in leadership anymore, because once she won the vote earlier, she continued to press this issue publicly in a way that was antagonizing the people who were against her.
Christie spoke on ABC's This Week along with former White House Chief of Staff Rahm Emanuel.
It took 90 years to find a president that could both lose the White House, the House, and the Senate, and Donald Trump did that. This is about Donald Trump and his grievances.
Emanuel and Christie spoke on ABC's This Week, which can be heard Sundays on Bloomberg Radio. Medics say at least 50 Palestinians were hospitalized after being injured in clashes with Israeli police at a Flashpoint Jerusalem holy site. Police fired tear gas and stun grenade canisters, some of them landing in the Al-Aqsa Mosque, Islam's third holiest site. This week could be a record breaker in the art world. Tomorrow, top auction houses, Sotheby's and Christie's, will attempt to auction at least $1 billion in art. It will happen during both in-person and live-streamed events. Friday, the Wall Street Journal reported Sotheby's announced that a few dozen people are able to show up in person and bid on its New York sales for the first time since the coronavirus pandemic began. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. John.
Michael, thank you very much. It is now 6:36 on Wall Street. And that's time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
All right, John, it was obvious this final road trip of the Knicks season was going to be a challenge. They did start with two wins, but then two losses. Big win yesterday in L.A. The Clippers have been hot. It was their last home game of the regular season, and the Knicks beat them 106-100. Their first road win over the Clippers since 2010. Derrick Rose scored 25 points, went on ESPN after the game.
Lost two before this game, and we just tried to stay focused, stay hungry, and play with an urgency, knowing that in the fourth quarter, we'd be in most of the games, but in the fourth quarter, the intensity pick up, the urgency has to be there, and we're trying to play for something.
Ex-Clipper Reggie Bullock added 24. The two Clipper stars, Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, were a combined 17 of 46. The Knicks are still in L.A. The trip ends there tomorrow against the Lakers. We'll see if LeBron James plays. He did not last night. The Lakers still beat Phoenix as Anthony Davis scored 42. Yankees finished a long homestand 7-2. They beat Washington 3-2 on a Giancarlo Stanton hit bottom of the ninth. So back-to-back walk-off wins. Yanks off today. Big series starts tomorrow at Tampa Bay. Mets also off. They won 5 in a row. That's the longest current win streak in the majors. A second straight 4-2 win over Arizona. Jacob DeGrom, who had missed a start due to tightness on his right side, was vintage. DeGrom perfect for four innings, but then the injury returned in the fifth. Explains DeGrom issuing three walks in an inning for the first time in 3 years. He got the win, left after the fifth, had an MRI. Results should come today. Rory McIlroy won the golf in Charlotte. Medina Spirit, who won the Kentucky Derby, was found to have an excessive amount of a steroid. If the findings are upheld, Mandalown, who finished second, will be declared the Derby winner. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Come on.
John, thanks a lot. It is 6:37 on Wall Street. And it's time now to take a look at stocks and some of the names that are moving in the pre-market this morning. And for that, we're joined by Bloomberg Markets reporter Kriti Gupta. Well, we've seen commodity prices surging lately. So what does that mean for the stocks of the commodity producers?
Well, a direct translation, 4% gains just in the pre-market on stocks like Freeport-McMoRan. You have Cleveland-Cliffs up, United States Steel. I mean, ticker X on United States Steel, Cleveland-Cliffs CLF, Freeport-McMoRan FCX. Really important to know those tickers because you're probably going to see some pretty important intraday moves right at the open. A lot of that just has to do with those jumps that you're seeing once again in copper, in iron ore. A lot of optimism here coming out of Asia and how much commodity demand is coming out of there.
We got risk on day in commodities. Does that apply to all the sectors and including tech?
It's a great question because they're kind of opposites lately, aren't they? It's really interesting because you are seeing some of those old tech stocks, that old guard, taking a series of analyst downgrades this morning, of course, coming off of their underperformance last week, already seeing some underperformance in the pre-market. I mean, let's just take a look at Oracle, ticker ORCL, cut to equal weight at Barclays, down 1% in the pre-market. You even have Intel, that semiconductor that's been on a tear lately, cut to underweight at Atlantic Equity, ticker INTC, down 0.5%. And even just take a look at some of the big heavyweights, NVIDIA, Facebook, Google, Microsoft, all up, down, about 1% in the pre-market. So they are taking a hit. One strategist saying there's a speculative unwind happening in the tech space independent of anything going on in the real economy. So not a ton of read-through there in terms of that broad reopening optimism. And we also absolutely have to discuss Tesla. Big tech stock.
I'm the only person who missed Elon Musk on Saturday Night Live.
Well, apparently you didn't miss much because it doesn't seem like there's isn't much of a massive read-through into the market. And that's what we were expecting, right? Tesla, though, is down 1% in line with some of those other big tech names. And, of course, as we watch for any reaction at the market open, you have to look at those crypto-related stocks, too. Riot, Marathon Patent, up right now in line with Bitcoin. But let's see if that changes. Crypto can go anywhere.
Okay, Kriti Gupta. Hey, before you go, was it a bad news is good news scenario on Friday after that jobs report? I mean, the thinking among investors is what? That it's going to keep the Fed on hold?
I suppose so. That's what it kind of seemed like. A lot of it just has to do with this idea that maybe there is just a buy the dip opportunity. That's kind of what seems to be coming off of disappointing reports. You even had ISM data last week that had the same reaction.
Okay, it remains to be seen what we're going to get today. Kriti Gupta, Bloomberg Markets Reporter, thanks very much. We appreciate it. And ahead of the cash open on Wall Street right now, the futures, they are mixed. We have the NASDAQ E-mini futures 49 points lower. That is down about 0.4% right now. The Dow futures, they are up 97 points. That's up 0.3%. And the S&P futures right now, 8 points higher. That is up 0.2%. And you're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And we're brought to you by Columbia Bank. Why Columbia Bank in 2021? Because only Columbia delivers modern and convenient banking solutions with a personal community touch. Right in the neighborhood, online, right where you need the most. Count on Columbia. Member FDIC.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Futures are mixed this morning. We go to the first word, breaking news desk, for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Ken. That's right. Like you said, U.S. futures are trading mixed right now, with Dow futures higher by 104 points, S&P's gained 3, NASDAQ futures lower by 37. The U.S. 10-year yield at 1.58%, gold is up 7, while European markets are also trading mixed this morning. Back in the U.S., nothing to report on the U.S. economic front. Regarding earnings, Jacobs EPS beat estimates, and Duke Energy also beat estimates. In other news, the largest U.S. oil products pipeline is still closed more than 2 days after that cyber hack. JP Morgan and Deutsche Bank are said to be being sued by 1MDB. And in the crypto space, Ethereum topped 4,000 for the first time. Wrapping things up, Oracle cuts the equal weight at Barclays, Eagle Materials raised to buy at Jefferies, and Creer is raised to neutral at JP Morgan. Live from the First Republic News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And here live breaking news over your Bloomberg. Type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. COVID cases in the U.S. are now at a seven-month low. Dr. Anthony Fauci says as vaccination numbers go up, it may be time to relax restrictions even more on things like wearing masks indoors. Meanwhile, the FDA could grant emergency use authorization for Pfizer for teens as early as today. Colonial Pipeline, the company that ships about 45% of all fuel to wide parts of the South and Northeast, says it is working to restore full service to its vast pipeline system. It was shut down following a ransomware attack. Kentucky Derby winner Medina Spirit has tested positive for a banned steroid and could be disqualified from the race. In Major League Baseball, the Yankees beat the Nationals 3-2, the Mets won, the Red Sox beat the Orioles 4-3, the Giants and A's lost. In the NBA, the Knicks won, the Celtics lost. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
COVID has made Orlando less affordable than San Francisco. I'm Justin Fox, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. Since the beginning of the pandemic, the price of housing has risen in some relatively cheap places and fallen in some expensive ones. As a consequence, some of those relatively cheap places aren't so cheap anymore. To be sure, none has caught up with the extreme real estate prices of, say, coastal California. But when I compared Apartment List's latest rent estimates for metropolitan areas to local median wages, some interesting cities stood out for having rents that were high relative to pay. Metropolitan Los Angeles and San Diego were the least affordable large metros, but Orlando was less affordable than San Francisco, Austin less affordable than New York, Phoenix less affordable than Boston. The most affordable big metro areas, meanwhile, were Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Louisville, and Cincinnati. Ready to move there? I'm Justin Fox. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And Bloomberg Opinion commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time. And terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it is now 6:51 on Wall Street, and it's time to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital today include the White House creating a task force to deal with cyber attack of the largest U.S. gasoline pipeline, a battle over the future of the Republican Party kicking into high gear this week, and President Biden meeting with GOP leaders to make a deal on infrastructure. For more on these stories, we're joined by Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins. Emily, good morning to you. Let's start off with the pipeline story. The hack knocks out the pipeline for a third day of traders on edge. Colonial is just the latest example of critical infrastructure being targeted by ransomware. What are Biden administration officials saying and doing?
So the White House has jumped on this pretty quickly. Over the weekend, it created a task force to deal with that pipeline breach and just sort of looking into what at this point they need to do. The Biden administration, according to the New York Times, is also planning to issue an executive order to strengthen cybersecurity for federal agencies. So that's just making sure that there are multi-factor authentications, other sort of safety nets, both for the federal government employees as well as any sort of contractor. I think for a lot of it, the Congress and the government is realizing that there is an increased need to really look at cybersecurity and hacks and attacks. It's something that Congress has been focusing on now for a couple of years, but I think the pipe hits home that more needs to be done.
Creating a task force, is that a little like closing the barn door after the horse has left? And what is the Commerce Department saying about this?
Well, Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo definitely spoke over the weekend saying that there were certainly concerns about this, that it was something that the White House was looking into, trying to figure out where this came from, who was behind it, sort of what needs to be done to make sure that something like this doesn't happen again and that the government is prepared for it. There's also consider the infrastructure bill that Congress is beginning to work on. We haven't seen any official text for that yet. That's still in the works. But that is something where cybersecurity does not appear in this $2.25 trillion infrastructure plan, although lawmakers have said that as they begin to write the bill, they do plan to incorporate various cybersecurity elements.
This is a big week for the Republican Party in particular. Battle over the future intensifies as Kevin McCarthy is backing a challenger to Liz Cheney for a leadership role. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, so Liz Cheney currently serves as the number three Republican in the House as conference chair. And unfortunately, or rather, depending on what your stance is on this, she has come under a lot of scrutiny and attacks from her colleagues who have said it's not only a matter of her sort of pushing against former President Trump's assertions that the 2020 election was stolen, but they say that Cheney has consistently done this and that at this point it's a message. Republicans are seeking unity. They're seeking to sort of put the divisiveness of January 6th behind them and to sort of have a unified message. And they're saying that with Cheney in a leadership, that message is that it's being more divisive. And so they are seeking to replace Congresswoman Cheney with a New York Congresswoman, Elise Stefanik. She started off her career as a bit of a moderate, and actually she is fairly bipartisan if you look at her voting record. However, if you look at her statement, she's been a very loyal supporter of former President Donald Trump. She backed him in his impeachments, talking to the press and the media, supporting Trump in a big way. And so at this point over the week, we saw the House Republican leader Kevin McCarthy come out, throw his support behind Stefanik, and we expect the conference to be taking a vote on this on Wednesday morning.
And just a minute left. The president meeting with Republicans for a pivotal point on deal making. Real quick, what's going to happen?
So on Wednesday, President Biden is going to meet for the first time with House Republican leader Kevin McCarthy, as well as Mitch McConnell, Nancy Pelosi, and Chuck Schumer are going to be there as well. Basically, the big question is, can they find a way forward on this infrastructure package? Is something bipartisan going to come out of this? And I think there's just this meeting will signal exactly how likely bipartisanship is on this major spending package as it goes forward.
Yeah, we've seen that Lucy and Charlie Brown cartoon with respect to this. She pulls the football out at the last minute. Is that kind of like what's going on here? I mean, make a proposal and then pull it back?
We're going to see. Yeah. I mean, last time with coronavirus, we saw Democrats go on their own. There's certainly incentives to do both ways.
Bloomberg's Emily Wilkins, thanks very much. A reminder, you can follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Karen.
John, thank you. It is 6:55 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. It's brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology. NJIT annually connects more than 1,700 tech-savvy students with the world's top industry employers through co-ops and internships. Learn more at njit.edu/CDS. Now here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. U.S. Infectious Diseases Chief Anthony Fauci says there's no doubt the country has undercounted the number of coronavirus deaths. But Fauci told NBC News that a University of Washington analysis saying the true toll is probably over 900,000 is a bit more than he would have thought. The official number of COVID deaths in the U.S. is 581,000. Amazon, which has been under pressure from shoppers, brands, and lawmakers to crack down on counterfeits on its site, says it has blocked more than 10 billion suspected phony listings last year before any of their offerings could be sold. The numbers were released in Amazon's first report on its anti-counterfeiting efforts since it announced new tools and technologies in 2019. The number of blocked phony listings last year was up about 67% from the year before. Sony is warning a group of analysts that PlayStation 5 will remain in short supply through 2022. That could mean the company will be constrained in its ability to boost sales targets for its latest games console. The PS5 has been difficult to find in stock since its release in November, in part because of shortages in components such as semiconductors. And that's a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. Futures this morning. Checking NASDAQ futures, they're down 37 points. Dow futures now up 105. And S&P futures are up 3. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 1.57%. And the yield on the 2-year is at 0.14%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.6%. Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrell, and Lisa Abramowitz. For John Tucker, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.